Welcome back to part two. Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Ferreira.
Guys, I don't know if it's an appropriate time to pivot a little bit in terms of addressing our youth. I serve a lot of youth who come to me with ADHD symptomology and conditions, or conditions that they think may be ADHD because they went to some social media thing and they want me to verify and or diagnose, or the parents want me to sort of figure out why their child is not doing well in school and why they're this or that and so on. So I do a good many ADHD assessments on people, and it's a fairly good template that I use. But with social media, and as Joseph and you indicated, our young people are, that almost becomes their truth. We have a different foundation, and social media, I think, doesn't need to be the sole truth of the youth. Their parental teachings need to be, orchestrated through the Word and through family traditions and church traditions, and good stuff needs to be the foundation. But a lot of parents don't even know how to parent, and they are neglectful, and they're just as much hooked on the social media in a bad way than the kids are. So the kids are learning everything from the social media, good, bad, and indifferent. But what I have found from my perspective as a clinician, that this exacerbates the ADHD propensity out there, that they are getting information in seconds, and if they're not interested in that information or data or story or TikTok or video or whatever next, and so they can't, their mind is being conditioned to short-term burst of attention. And I think that is not only a symptom but a strategy of our enemy to create that. I don't think all this stuff is by accident, and I'm not a great conspiracy theorist, but I have seen this through the course of history. The technologies have advanced and they have changed so to take our attention away from the things that we need to be pondering deeply and spending some time with. And so our children, for example, as we already alluded to, it greatly affects their anxiety, and it greatly affects, if I'm talking about too much consumption, I'm not talking about a balanced consumption, I'm talking about where it's an extreme consumption, yeah. It affects their sleep abilities and so on, and which has all kinds of implications. You know, if a child is very, very sleepy, I've had children, many of them scrolling into 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're wondering why they're not doing well in school. Well, hello, parents, or hello, child. And it also does things like it decreases, because of that tiredness and because of the false narrative of some of the social media content, it decreases their imaginative play where concepts are mastered, because it's already mastered on the screen. They don't have to figure it out. They don't have to go out in the yard and pitch a baseball or find a stick in the woods and, create a homemade spear or whatever. It decreases their imaginative play, which is a better part of our spiritual development. God is not something that we can taste or touch. So there's an imaginative faith dynamic that has to be created in us. And if it's being delivered to us in a systematic, fakey sort of a doctored up, you guys had the terminology earlier, then that mode of our development can turn off.
Yes.
And all the neurotransmitters with it. So all of a sudden we have an incapability and a diminished ability to emotionally and mentally think. Then our enemy can hand deliver poison anytime he wants to. And our taste buds are no wiser for it. Okay. So that decreasing imaginative play is very important. Joseph mentioned that we were old enough to be before the internet and all that. We had to go outside and play. We had to do stuff. And our imaginations were crafty and artsy and creative. And that's what we had to do. And it also What that can do, that decrease in imaginative play, can also decrease a person's work ethic.
Yeah.
How many kids and adults do I talk to and counsel that their spouse or their family member has an exception to because they're gaming all the time instead of working and making a living?
Yeah.
Or they're lazy, or they don't go out and they don't have the gumption and the resilience to have their minds stick with the job for 8 hours a day because they want to do this, that, and whatever, because their brains have been trained on nanoseconds instead of imaginative, spiritual, foundational development. Okay, it really has an effect, and our enemy is very smart. He's doing this on purpose. It also, it can prevent exercise, which decreases stress. How many people are gaming and social media rather than walking with their spouse or exercising? A lot of people are exercising, and that becomes a god, too. I'm not talking about that extreme. But I know a lot of people and work with a lot of people who are doing social media rather than paying attention to their cardiovascular health or what they eat. How many times if we're doing social media or gaming that we're eating everything not healthy, you know what I mean? Or drinking everything that's not healthy. It can also decrease our satisfaction with life, resulting in a never-ending, exhausting quest for something more.
Yeah.
God is our something more. As long as we're looking for something more, we will never be satisfied. We will never be settled. We will always be looking for the next thing. And social media always attempts to promote, we're offering you the next thing. And so it becomes a never-ending, I'm talking about in its extreme. We're all talking about there's health of social media. I'm talking about the extreme use of healthy media. It becomes a quest that will exhaust our hearts and tire us to the point where we can't even listen to God. We can't hear him. We can't, we're not even on his wavelength. So I just see this as a development of our enemy that's very stealth mode brilliant, but he's defeated. And we want to bring our audience to the attention of these things because it can be a deadly elixir and we don't even know it.
Yeah, absolutely. And this pivot that we're going to do is we're going to talk about the social, the societal actually part of social media and what's it doing to us? Because the personal side, right, we can control that. We can control what's happening to us personally. The thing about society is that we think we can change it, or we think we can control it. And what social media has done is it's given us a false sense of control. It's given us an outlet to be able to voice our thoughts and in not so healthy ways. And we think we're doing something only to find that our cup is empty and that we've eaten, you know, empty carbs, basically. And, you know, what Kevin was saying about our attention span, what we're doing in our practices by, you know, if we're playing video games all the time. I love video games. You know, I play games with my kids. You know, I'll play Minecraft. I'll do certain things with them. There's, you know, one of my favorite games is the on the Switch is the Legends of Zelda, and you can go and you can achieve and many people, that's their way of achieving. Everything else in their life they're failing at.
Yeah.
But that's their only source of achievement, and it's empty. It's empty carbs. And so what we're feeding into ourselves, if we're not feeding God's word, if we're not going out, taking risks, achieving, doing things that we're supposed to be doing, what we're doing is we're escaping life. But let's pivot to the societal part of it. Because I think what that's doing is it's creating a lot of problems. You know, I have the saying, I believe everything on the internet since Abraham Lincoln, you know, first created it. So, you know, newsflash, he was dead long before internet came around. But, you know, I use that as a way to say, don't believe everything you see. Don't listen to everything that's out there. Be aware, but don't let it control you. Don't let it be the thing that's front and ready in your life. You know, I love what Hebrews 12 says. You know, Hebrews 11 was about faith and how people, even though they did not see Jesus, they had faith that he was coming. They died well before Jesus came, yet their faith was credited to them as righteousness. And it starts off, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will grow, you will not grow weary and lose heart. Right? Where's our eyes? Is it on Christ? Is it on his word? Or are we focused so much on the social media that we're losing heart? There's conflict. There's always going to be conflict. There's division politically. We're sometimes now what we're finding out is that we're being fed confirmation bias. And what that confirmation bias is, it's like, oh, yeah, those things that you believe in, those are true. And let me show you why. Even though you may go out and find that it's the exact opposite. And so confirmation bias is going to be there. That division, we're pitted against each other. Instead of, hey, I understand that you have a difference of opinion and I still love you. Now it's, I'm told I need to hate you. And what we're doing is we're hating our neighbor. We're not loving them. We're hating them. And instead of seeing them as created in God's image, what we're told is that we hate them. And God said, that's murder. You know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you know, if you hate your brother, you've broken the commandment, you shall not murder. You've basically done that because you've done it in your heart. You've not murdered him in real life, but in your heart you have. And so we have to be very careful on what we're seeing, what we're thinking, because there are times I'll see something and go, okay, I need to walk away from that because I know how I feel. And then I'll have other people, hey, did you see this? I'm like, yeah, I did. I'm good. Thanks. You know, I don't need to relive that in my life because I know how that affects me. And if I start to turn my eyes to Jesus, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take his lenses and put them over my eyes and start to look at people through his eyes and not seeing them as the enemy. So we have to be very careful on what we're looking at.
Well, the eyes placement is so good. And I want to say to the listener, you know, there will be times that you will see Kevin looking down, you'll see me looking down, you'll see Joseph looking to the left. And I want to tell you why that is, because our podcasts are 100% organic. We get on here 5 minutes before we get on the air. We fellowship, we decide what our topic is. And so we don't come with notes. But what happens is as the Spirit speaks through each one of us, right, it fosters these new thoughts and these new ideas. And so I was observing on our other video gentleman is that I think what people might believe is that I'm distracted by my phone or social media. But actually what we're doing is we have been inspired by what has been said. And we're either looking up scriptures or we're writing down something that we want to understand. I mean, that we want to communicate. So I just want to let you know that we are not distracted, okay, by outside things. We are very much zoned in to this. And that's because we're very organic and we don't come with notes already prepared. You know, I love that we're talking about culturally and societal. And boy, I think you could just do a whole message on what you shared, Joseph, is that, you know, there is this polarizing that has, it's always been here, okay? But it's really been ramped up in the last 6 years for sure. And I think the best way that, you know, we would describe it to you, the listener, if you're not already aware of this, is that, you know, that there's the biblical definition of anything is now the dividing line. And I'm just going to say it's that simple. We already know that there's a dividing line, but we would be mistaken if we say it's the left or the right, if it's Democrat or Republican, or if it's even the church in the world. I would say that what I see has happened is that the biblical definition of a thing is the dividing line. And this is such an important concept for the listener to understand, because we're talking about marriage between the sexes. We're talking about abortion. We're talking about, can a girl be a boy, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about things that are hot button issues today, right? And that we're seeing what's rising up in our nation as well as around the world. But we go back to what the three of us have been saying and saying it a little bit differently and bringing forth scriptures, which is, you know, back to Matthew 6:33, right? Set your mind on the king. Well, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all things will be provided for you. Well, that's also wisdom. It's not just, you know, food and clothing, like the Lord was, you know, helping them to understand that they're so consumed by those things that they actually take their eyes off the kingdom. But we're saying we can't have wisdom and understanding of this world. So when it comes to culturally and societal things, 100% in agreement with what Joseph was saying is, you use the word, and I like it, I call it polarizing, and it is, which is we're fed a story. And yet if my husband was to be on registered as a different voting person, he would get completely different information.
Yes.
So we assume that the information that we're receiving is what the world is receiving, and it's not. You know, it was proven, you know, many years ago that Google, right, was very guilty of making sure that if you Googled something, you were going to get only what they wanted you to see. If you wanted to see actual statistics on something, you had to go way, way, way down. Why? Because there was a bias. That's just the fact on both sides. And so I think the word I want to put forth is the word echo chamber. You know, somebody shared that with me not too long ago, and they're right. You know, if I'm not careful, I'm only listening and watching this curated stuff that's meant to be polarizing and that has a very definite bias to it. And if I'm not careful, what we all do is we just repeat what we've heard. And that's very dangerous, because let's just agree that even if 50% of what we've heard is false and 75% of what we've seen is false, then that means that we are bearing, we're messengers that are bearing falsities. And that's a real problem. So I've made a decision for myself, gentlemen, that I'm not going to be simply an echo chamber. And you know how, listener, you can tell if you're about to be an echo chamber is because it will inflame you. It will make you angry, whatever it is. It will scare you. And what you'll do is, because you want the world to know, but remember, what you're sharing is only going to be into the algorithms of those people that already believe you. So what are you doing, right? You're stirring each other up to more and more anger and outrage. Whereas I believe that a better place for us is to simply shut it down and begin to pray. Imagine that. Because it might be true. And if it's true, right, it should inflame me, but it should inflame me to prayer. Because honestly, there's not a single thing I can do outside of prayer I'll say it this way. There's 99% of nothing I can do about a thing that's a war over in another part of the world or has anything to do with suffering. I have no ability to change it.
Right.
Except prayer.
Yeah.
So I'm learning to not be a part of the echo chamber. It's hard because like we've said to you, listener, it's intentionally designed to make you angry, make you afraid. And maybe not everything does, but don't be an echo chamber. When you find those things flooding your heart, stop. Don't send.
Yes.
Pray.
I want to share a story, an observation I made a number of years ago, and sort of addressing a couple societal implications. I went into a barbershop, or actually it was a hairstylist, not a barbershop, the typical G.I. Joe barbershop. And our audience, who in the world is G.I. Joe? Well, I don't know. It's a guy 50 years ago or something. But so anyway, a place where you could get your hair cut. And these, there was a dad there, a handsome young man, and two boys. They looked 6 and 7, maybe 8, something like that. And they were both on their phones. And meanwhile, there were people passing them, you know, the hairstylists and the customers interacting and a whole world out there, people going, passing on the sidewalk in front of the store, a whole bunch of things going on. And these little boys were glued to their device and they didn't, they didn't have any conception of what was going on outside of them. And so I thought to myself, wow. Those little boys are not learning to read body language. They're not learning to read facial expressions. They're not learning to interact with socially with people around them, even if an older person would smile at them. They're not even learning to smile back. And so I think social media, and especially with parents, we have to do a better job in limiting our children and grandchildren to some of that or a lot of it, depending on how extreme it is, because it's going to diminish their body language perception, which is going to result in communication problems. Because when they communicate something and they can't anticipate or understand a person's facial expression, they won't know how to or understand how to modify their communication or how to improve it and so on. So it's going to lead to diminished relationship dynamics, communication dynamics, which always unravels relationships. And so I get a lot of clients who don't know how to have relationships. The number one thing we're having, I always ask the couples I counsel, so tell me about your goals in therapy. Communication is always there. If we're always looking at something other than communication, something that's handmade, spoon-fed to us over an electronic media, we're not going to have the spiritual observation skills and the emotional intuition skills to even form the foundational wherewithal of conversations because we're glued to something else. And so it's defeating us across the board. And so that body language perception deficiency equals social ineptness, and it can equal social inabilities that will affect us the rest of our lives in grade school and high school and jobs and everywhere. And so it's that important. And I don't want to be an extremist. I don't want you to think that I'm saying the sky is falling down. I just think we have to better manage this because something else is getting our attention, and that something else is not too healthy.
Yep.
And so also with the societal implications, I don't look at the TikToks and whatnot and what I don't have time. It's not because I'm better than other people. I have 42 things to do today. And like social media, boy, no way. Anyway, it doesn't mean I don't get on social media. I'm guilty of looking at all the international news because I want to know what's going on in the world. But I think we can compare ourselves to the other things. And Paul admonishes us not to compare ourselves because it's going to lead us to think we're either worse than other people or better than other people. Both of those conclusions are not good. And so, but I think it can lead to shame, guilt when we don't measure up to that which we're seeing. And I think all three of us have alluded to that. And then it can lead to an additional striving or performance anxiety because I'm not as good as that next person or I'm not as successful as that next person. And it also gives people who tend to be a little bit depressed anyway, additional opportunity to be more depressed.
Yes.
And so, but anyway, I really wanted the audience to hear about the body language perception deficiency because I think it is in large part helping to fulfill that scripture in Matthew 24, where the disciples asked Christ the sign of the times of the end. He said, because sin will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And I think the social media things, if we don't manage that well, and other factors can lead to our body language deficiency intuition and therefore not inform the love we should have for other people.
Absolutely. Let's do this. We're going to give kind of our last thoughts. And then at the very end, I want to read Psalm 25, but something that Laura said, and actually what Kevin said, you know, with communication, you know, Laura and I did a podcast on He Said, She Said. So, you know, there's different communicating styles. And if we're not learning those things, we're going to fail. We're going to miscommunicate all the time. And so learning how to communicate is very important. Understanding that we communicate differently, huge. That's a big part of communication. But one of the things that Laura said that I did at my church was, you know, we talk about the echo chamber and or, you know, the confirmation bias and stuff like that. I was part, you know, the men's group that we meet on Saturdays, I was asked to give a devotional. And I noticed that most of the conversations had to do with a lot of political stuff. And which is, it's fine, you know, except I was feeling kind of grieved in my heart. And that echo chamber, that thing that we want to do is we hear something and we want to regurgitate it. I told him, I said, I think it's right up there with gossip. Yeah. And what does gossip do? You know, gossip is this, hey, did you hear what is, or it's like, hey, you know, instead of saying, hey, you know, it's so good seeing you. I'm glad you're here. How's your week? What are the things you're working on? Oh, did you hear what happened in the news? Did you, you know, oh yeah, I heard about it. Oh, and there's nothing you can do. You cannot resolve it.
Yes.
There's absolutely no way of resolving it. And yet I think it's up there with gossip. I think it's there. It's a poison. It was interesting because after that talk, I didn't really hear the guys doing that. And, you know, every once in a while you'll hear them talk about it, but now we're on different subjects. We're on things that we can control. We're on things that are uplifting. And so I want to say that the echo chamber, if you're having to go, hey, did you see this? What is, you know, I want to say that could be gossip. So we need to change that. So let's go around and let's give some, you know, last thoughts. And then I'm going to read Psalm 25.
That was really good. I like that. Yeah. Let's talk about the things we can change. Well, I'm going to leave two takeaways for the listener today as well as for myself. The first one is addressing loneliness, you know, whether that's societal or individual, you know, we have to get in front of people. And nobody likes to be vulnerable. Nobody. And anytime we put ourselves in a position to try to make a friend or create a tribe or whatever, it always puts us in a vulnerable position because, you know, the number one fear for people is to be rejected. Okay. But it's the way that we find health, right? Henry Cloud wrote a book, I can't even remember the name right now, but I'll think of it in a minute. But he says in that book, he says, we cannot get well without fellowship. It's so interesting, you know, that this is the way that God designed for us to be able to be well. So you have to get into fellowship. Now, that might be that you join a small group. Here's the scary thing. That might be that you invite someone into your home, invite a coworker, you know, to the movies. Right? The truth of the matter is everybody's busy, But the majority of people are also lonely. So it's a strange thing, you know. If you get a no, ask again or ask another person, right? Don't just assume automatically that it's rejection. By the way, the name of that book was How People Grow by Henry Cloud. And lastly is, I want to say, when we were raising our kids, guys, you will know this. A younger person may not know this, but we used to always say, choose your battle, okay? Especially when you're, you know, parenting, right? You can't fight them on everything, you know? You have to choose your battles. Well, I'm going to say to the listener, and I'm walking this out myself, okay? I've made a decision for myself that though I have an opinion on everything, okay, I recognize I'm not willing to die on every hill. But there are some, there's very few, if you really think about it, there's really only like two hills that I'm willing to die on when it comes to this conversation about social media. So just because you have an opinion doesn't mean we should put our opinion out there. Why? Because the way that it's set up now is there's such a bullying spirit. You know, people will come onto your page and tell you you're wrong for your thoughts and your opinions, even though it's your page and it's your thoughts and your opinions. And it would be okay if they disagreed, but they don't. They attack, right? They, you know, it's very vicious. It's very cruel. And so, you know, you watch this and I would say to the listener, it's not that you should shut your mouth about everything. There are some things we need to be outspoken about. I would say for the three of us here on this podcast, we would say it is the word of God. I'm willing to die on that hill. There's a few other things that are still tied in biblically that I'm willing to die on. And if it's not a hill, I'm willing for someone to come at my jugular. And I'm saying this to you too, listener, then don't say it. Just keep moving on. Pray about the thing and know that there's very few things that are worth the battle.
Amen. Well, I would like to encourage our listeners to have real conversations, have real social interactions. Put the phones down, put the tablets down, put the PCs down, and really talk to your children. Even if you have to plan in your calendar to have real conversations, specific times after work or during whenever that you can sit down with your family and have real conversations and address real issues and not run from the issues. If you're not a family person, but you're a single person, instead of spending the third hour doom scrolling, why don't you put the phone down after 1 hour and call a widow or call a widower or call somebody and express how much you appreciate them? Do a relational kind of activity. So I would just encourage us to also, as parents, to not let our children get lost in their electronic media, but make them pay attention to people in the grocery store instead of sitting in the buggy and playing their looking at social media or doing whatever they're doing on the electronic devices. Let them look at the shelves. Teach them how to shop. Teach them the personal stuff. You know, and when they go around their grandparents, perhaps limit their use of these this technology so that their grandparents can teach them real human skills, do the real human things. You know, it's not going to be easy because the social media stuff can be an addiction that just sort of tries to tempt us and pull our attention. But we have to do the real life people things, or I think we're going to be diminished greatly. And then when we're going to look back one of these years, we're not going to remember the tens of thousands of hours. We're going to remember tens of thousands of hours on electronic devices and social media. We're going to remember relationships lost, the pains gained, the emotional things that I should have done. And I wish I would have communicated with this person by and saying this and all those missed opportunities. It's not going to be worth it. Don't miss the opportunities in the future. Let it be your anticipatory counseling now. Let that vision for the future and not letting social media crowd out your heart be the current reality now so that you can give your heart in real conversations and interactions.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when we you know, we'd say this every episode or at the end of every series of the episodes. If you don't have a Bible-believing church to be a part of, get involved. You need those connections. You need to be able to have that social interaction. You get to know people. You get to be a part of their lives. You are able to pray for them, help them in physical, spiritual ways, and vice versa. You need people to be in your life too. So reach out to us, go to our website, and we can help you there. But be a part of a community. Be a part of a physically social group so that you're not confined to the four walls of your house. You're not confined to your own mind. You're not confined to what's being placed right in front of your face so that you can grow. And when you take the focus off of yourself and you're focused on others' needs, it's amazing what happens when you pour into others, right? Because they pour into you also. God created us to be relational. And so take and put yourself in, like, I don't like being in public. It's like, guess what? You need it. And sometimes we have to look at it as medicine. I need my medicine. I need to go take my medicine. So do those things. So Psalms 25, I'm going to read the whole chapter and then we'll end it here. But it says, "In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come to those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways that they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him, and he makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Look on my affliction and my distress and take away all my sins. See how numerous are my enemies and how fierce they hate me. Guard my life and rescue me. Do not let me be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness protect me, because my hope, Lord, is in you. Deliver Israel, O God, from all their troubles." Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.